I will read scripture in Japanese. 第一コリント人への手紙13章8節から13節。愛は決して絶えることがありません。予言の賜物ならば廃れます。異言ならばやみます。知識ならば廃れます。というのは、私たちの知っているところは一部分であり、予言することも一部分だからです。完全なものが現れたら、不完全なものは廃れます。私が子供であった時には、子供として話し、子供として考え、子供として論じましたが、大人になった時には子供のことをやめました。今私たちは鏡にぼんやり映るものを見ていますが、その時には顔と顔とを合わせて見ることになります。今私は一部分しか知りませんが、その時には私が完全に知らされているのと同じように、私も完全に知ることになります。こういうわけで、いつまでも残るものは信仰と希望と愛です。その中で一番優れているのは愛です。
I'd like to read the scripture in English. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. When I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in part, we see in a mirror dimly, but in face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abides these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. Jesus was once asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? And he said love. Love in a couple of different ways. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbors. And then a follow-up question came, what does it mean to love my neighbor? And that's a good question. In fact, Paul describes love in the verses above this one. He talks about love is love, it always protects. It always trusts. And there's a lot of descriptions about love in that, in those verses. Great, great descriptions. But Jesus, when he was asked that question, he gave a story. You guys know the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan? That parable came out of the question, what does it mean to love my neighbors? I'd like to read that parable. Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for anything extra he may have. And then Jesus asked the question back, which of the three do you think loved his neighbor? And the answer is obvious. It's the priest. Just kidding. You know, as a pastor here, so obviously it's the priest. It's the pastor. He loved well. He did what God wanted to do. You know, and commentators always talk about, well, the priest, he if he would have touched the man, would have became unclean, wouldn't have been able to do his priestly duties. Same thing with the Levite. If he touched a person bleeding, yada, 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 and all these things come up. But obviously, it's the Samaritan. It's, you know, in our culture, maybe if we're talking Christians, it's the Muslim or the Jewish person. Or some other, it's the Buddhist. Or, you know, Jesus went out of his way to make people uncomfortable, it seems like. But obviously love has certain characteristics. And it's characteristics we can see. You know, it's not just, I love you, I love you. It's not just lip service of I love you. It is a service. Biblically, whenever you see love, it's in some sort of self-sacrificial service. We, and maybe I should only speak for myself, tend to be selfish people, self-preserving people. You know, whenever we talk about change, it's usually the other person needs to change, right? Change to what I want them to become like. Change the way I want to see it. Because I know best. And I'm not saying I know best as a pastor. I mean, that goes without saying, right? But I mean, like, I know best. Usually people say, you know, think that way. I think that way. We all think that way. And so here, and we're going through a series in Corinthians. The church in Corinth had that problem as well. They all felt entitled, empowered, and for many good reasons. They were operating in spiritual gifts. I believe they're financially being blessed hand over fist. And there were perhaps strong personalities in that group saying, I know best, we should do it my way. We should do it the way I see it, because obviously God is blessing me. And I know the way to go. And so as Paul talks about several issues, he now talks about spiritual manifestations. Spiritual gifts, if you will. And in this talk about spiritual manifestations and spiritual gifts, he kind of breaks and pauses to talk about love. So much so that some scholars think, oh, this chapter has been included after Paul has written it by some other people. It breaks from the flow almost. While others believe, no, this is actually genius of what Paul is doing. He's saying, in the midst of spiritual manifestation, the greatest manifestation you could ever experience and be a part of is the manifestation of God's love. It is a spiritual manifestation greater than speaking in tongues, greater than prophesying, greater than miracles, healings, transportation, walking on water, turning water into wine. Even greater than that is love. And he goes on to say, love, this manifestation of the Spirit, it never ends. Isn't that great? Amen. That's a good place to say amen. That is awesome. His love never ends. Love isn't just a human virtue that we can produce out of our own strength. Rather, it is by God that gives us the grace to love. God who is love. He is the source of love. And without His Spirit, I believe it is incapable to love as God loved. So every time, whether you're a believer, whether you're a Samaritan, whether you're a priest, whether you're a Levite, when you express love in some way, the divine and what we were created for comes out from us and God is manifested. That's what I mean when, I think that's what Paul means when he says the manifestation of the Spirit. It makes the Spirit, it reveals the Spirit. And love, like nothing else, reveals that Spirit. And so whenever we operate from a selfless, serving stance, point, place, God is manifested in this world. Isn't that great? That could happen here. That could happen at your work. That could happen at school. That could happen at home. In fact, some of you may be desiring a greater manifestation of God's Spirit, and it might be in doing the dishes, taking out the trash, changing the oil. Those things are just as, and Paul is saying, even more important than some of these amazing charismatic gifts. In fact, he says, other manifestations of the Spirit will come to an end. And he says, when perfection comes, what is partial will pass away. Now, I don't know what that perfect is. It's not spelled out, you know. But I don't think that perfect has come just yet. And therefore, I do believe that the spiritual manifestation in the form of spiritual gifts are a valid form of manifestations of the Spirit. Not just valid, but I believe necessary for the edification of the body of Christ. And just a side note, for those of us who are hungry for spiritual gifts, such as tongues, prophesying, healings, etc., etc., I do believe love is also not just a spiritual manifestation in itself, but the greatest way to see those spiritual manifestations come about. Well, what do I mean by that? You know, I've been asked to pray for people, and I've been asked to, I guess, you know, prophesying is maybe a loaded word, but prophesy over people. I've been asked to do that. I've been asked to pray healing over people. And the greatest, it becomes so much easier for me when I see that person and I begin to try to love that person the way Christ would love them. When I just try to produce like a prophetic word out of myself, it's really hard to come by. But when I start looking at that person, I just try to look at that person in the way Christ and God looks at that person, the way Jesus will look at that person, it becomes easier. Things start flowing. And so for those of us, and for those of you who are searching for greater manifestations in the form of the gift of the Spirit, love is the greatest path to that. Love will never fail. Love will never end. Paul goes on to say what this perfect is. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but when face to face, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abides, the three, but the greatest of these is love. Again, emphasizing the greatest is love. Now, going back to the meaning, when the perfect comes, instead of giving us a definitive time, such as the second coming, or such as the creation and the canonization of the Bible, which some believe this is in reference to, Paul instead gives us two examples of what that perfect is like. It's like the difference between a child and an adult. And the child probably is three around that age. An adult is probably, in the Greek context, about 55. I believe the commentator says philo, when he used that Greek word adult, it's in the range of 55 plus. You guys remember when you guys were like three? Well, let's do this. How many of you remember when you were age of seven, have memory at the age of seven? Sure. Yeah? I think seven is around the time when I started remembering things, or I could recall things. And What's that? What are you guys laughing at? It's okay.
That's a little late.
You know, I don't remember a lot of things. Anyways.
That's when logic kicks in.
Yeah. And I remember 7 because that's when my brothers, I have 2 older brothers, we started playing like Ultraman, Ultraman. And I was Ultra 7. And I guess just a plug, there's a Netflix Ultraman and I was watching, I finished it. I thought it was okay, but I loved it that, spoiler alert, Ultraman 7 is in that one. Sorry guys. Okay, how many of you guys remember 6, when you guys were 6? Really? Kenji, you remember when you were 6? That's a long time ago. You guys remember when you were 5? Really? 4? Wow. 3? No, you guys are just, that's not possible. 2, you guys remember when you were 2? 2. Okay, so about 3. So, you know, when you thought and reasoned like when you were 3 is a lot different than your thinking and reasoning and logic as 55. And I'm sure even the difference between an 18-year-old and a 55-year-old or a 20-year-old and a 55-year-old. In my 40s, I'm sure it will change in my 50s. And Paul is saying that's the difference. Now, are you guys offended by that? No. Okay, good. Great. Because Paul is kind of saying, we're like 3-year-olds right now in this. We're like 7-year-olds. We're like kids. We're like children. That's just a fact, though. It just is. In the light of eternity, I like to bring up Abraham's story as an example. When God came to Abraham, he gives Abraham a promise. He says, I will make you a great nation. You see the stars in the sky, you see the sand on the seashore. If you could count those, you could count how many people will come from you. Your descendants will be like the stars, will be like the sand on the seashore. And Abraham is thinking in his 3-year-old mind, okay, by the time, like, for a year from now, Sarah will probably have a kid, and then have twins, and then have even more kids. And by the time I'm, 10 years from now, I'll probably have about 20 kids. You know, Abraham's probably thinking that in his mind. You know how many kids he had by the time he was 100? One kid. I think 100. At 100, he finally has one kid. Finally. That's his kid from Sarah. Yeah, and he has other kids from other people that he's not supposed to have kids with. Keeping it PG-13 today. So he has a kid. He finally has a kid with Sarah. And that's the promise. And he sees that one kid. Imagine that. You're going to have children as numerous as the stars in the sky, and he has one kid. You know what's going on now that Abraham's about 55 years old in heaven? Jesus is like saying, see, I told you. All of these people descended from Isaac all come from Sarah through Abraham. And for you and I, we're about, 3, 7 years old. And there's going to be a day when we will be an adult. And Jesus will say, see, I told you. Didn't I tell you? There will be a time like that when the perfect comes. For now, we speak like a child, we think like a child, and we reason like a child. Yeah, children are wonderful. I love children. I don't have any children of my own. I do have a dog that I consider my child. And man, that dog is selfish. You know? He knows where, she knows where to pee and poo, and where does she go? She goes where she's not supposed to go sometimes. Even now. But I love her. She's like my child. And she gets it. I hate when people use that term. Because, you know, when people use that term, she gets it. It's almost like me and this person get it, and everyone else, they don't get it. But you know what? My dog, Winnie, she gets it. In this next part, it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." Sometimes I have to go away from, go on road trips, and you know, I really miss my wife and my dog. And my dog, you know, dogs, they like to pick one parent over the other. I think she picked me. I don't know why. Mandy is the one that saved her from her life of abuse and all these other traumatic things. But I guess I spend more time with her, and that's why she, Winnie likes me more. But when I go away, 100% facts, just facts. Sorry, Winnie. Sorry, honey. But when I go away, you know, I guess Mandy always says, my wife always says, she misses me. She misses me. And so sometimes we try to FaceTime, you know? Not me and FaceTime with Winnie. Sometimes I try to FaceTime with Winnie. Just so, like, she could see me, like, I'm okay and stuff. But you know what? Winnie doesn't care about FaceTime. She doesn't care about seeing a dimly figure in a mirror. She wants to see me face to face. And right now, Paul is saying, when we see God, the best it is like a mirror, dim mirror. That's as best as we can get right now. There will be one day when we will see face to face. But currently, all we see is like in a mirror dimly. In a mirror dimly. Now, I was trying to do some research on the limitation of human perception. And, you know, the extent of this research was I Googled it. And apparently, we don't see too well as human beings, right? What is it? The electromagnetic scale? What is that, the scale? Is that what it's called? Okay, so there's a scale that, you know, on that scale is like gamma rays and x-rays and infrared and radio waves and all these other, it's a spectrum of sight. And our spectrum is, according to, you know, these Google search, is 0.0035 of this spectrum. That's all we see. In all these other, I guess, lights, there's a light spectrum in that as well, but all these other things we're just unable to see. Microwaves, radio waves, gamma rays, and infrared, we can't see those things. We're just not capable of seeing those things. And it, you know, it brought to mind when Jesus says, you have eyes to see, but you don't see. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. Now, of course, when he says that, he's critiquing the religious leaders of their inability to comprehend religious truth, spiritual truth. But in a sense, you know, literally speaking, we don't see well. I'm glad I said it that way, because you guys would have been offended if I said, you guys are blind. You know, you guys are spiritually blind. But we are blind. It's a fact. We don't see. In fact, one of the things said, you know, if we did see in the spectrum, that even if it was night, it would be just as clear as day. Isn't that amazing? What came to my mind when I heard that is when John the Apostle went to heaven and said, we will no longer need the sun or the moon, because God himself will be our light and we will see clearly. My point in all of this is that all of us, we just barely see. We see in part. We know in part. And it's probably a very small part. And the greatest thing we could do about that isn't to pretend that we can see. But in my opinion, the greatest thing is to humble ourselves and realize how much we need God. His grace. Where are you right now? And if you're here, and if you're saying, well, I see perfectly, I know it all, and all these other things, nobody could help you. God Himself can't help you. But if we come to the place, a place of humility, and say, you know, I don't know. I can't see. I only know in part. I want more. I want to see more. I want to be able to see the radio waves. No, I'm just kidding. I want to be able to see the gamma rays. It might scare you, though. Maybe it's not a good idea to see it now, but one day I want to see those things. I want, God, I want more. I need more. Stir in me a hunger for more of you, so that one day the perfect will come and we will be like the adult. So one day we will be able to see face to face, not just FaceTiming. And that one day is yet to come. It will come. It is yet to come. And when that day comes, all of these other spiritual manifestations in the form of spiritual gifts, they will cease. But until that day comes, I believe those spiritual manifestations in the forms of spiritual gifts are so necessary, crucial for the edification, to help us see clearer, to help us understand, to help us, to remind us that one day we will be like an adult. And one day the perfect will come. But until that day comes, my hope and prayer for each and every one of us is that we will continue to be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. That we will continue to be humble and not think we know it all and not want it our way. And to respect one another and to honor one another, knowing that the part I have may be different from the part you have. But it's so crucial that the parts we both have for the kingdom of God. It's so crucial for each and every one of us as parts come together as a whole. And I believe as we sacrifice and as we worship Jesus Christ, these parts in humility can come together and bring the greatest manifestation of the Spirit the world has yet to see. An encounter with God the world is groaning and waiting for. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love, that you are love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. For you were one who saw and heard and understood. In your life on earth, the things you said, the things how you thought, your deeds, all of that, was a picture of when the perfect comes. And I believe as the church, we are the body. I believe one day the church will operate in the same mindset, the same speech, the same deeds as you did, Lord. To come and touch and heal this world that needs your touch so much. We thank you for the grace, Lord, that you have given us. I pray even now for those of us here today who need a touch from you, they would get it. Who needs a word of encouragement would hear it. Who needs a sense of hope will receive it. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.